Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Gunslinger, The Dark Tower, Book 1 by Stephen King. Read by George Guidel.
Chapter 1 The Gunslinger 1 The man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed. The desert was the apotheosis of all deserts. Huge, standing to the sky for what looked like eternity in all directions. It was white and blinding and waterless, and without feature save for the faint, cloudy haze of the mountains which sketched themselves on the horizon, and the devil grass, which brought sweet dreams, nightmares, death. An occasional tombstone sign pointed the way. For once, the drifted track that cut its way through the thick crust of alkali had been a highway. Coaches and buckas had followed it. The world had moved on since then. The world had emptied. The gunslinger had been struck by a momentary dizziness, a kind of yawing sensation that made the entire world seem ephemeral, almost a thing that could be looked through. It passed, and, like the world upon whose hide he walked, he moved on. He passed the miles stolidly, not hurrying, not loafing. A hide water bag was slung around his middle like a bloated sausage. It was almost full. He had progressed through the Kef over many years and had reached perhaps the fifth level. Had he been a manly, holy man, he might not have even been thirsty. He could have watched his own body dehydrate with clinical, detached attention, watering its crevices and dark inner hollows only when his logic told him it must be done. He was not a Manny, however, nor a follower of the man Jesus, and considered himself in no way holy. He was just an ordinary pilgrim, in other words, and all he could say with real certainty was that he was thirsty. And even so, he had no particular urge to drink. In a vague way, all this pleased him. It was what the country required. It was a thirsty country. And he had, in his long life, been nothing if not adaptable. Below the water bag were his guns, carefully weighted to his hands. A plate had been added to each when they had come to him from his father, who had been lighter and not so tall. The two belts crisscrossed above his crotch. The holsters were oiled too deeply for even this Philistine sun to crack. The stocks of the guns were sandalwood, yellow and finely grained. Rawhide tie-downs held the holsters loosely to his thighs, and they swung a bit with his step. They had rubbed away the bluing of his jeans and thinned the cloth in a pair of arcs that looked almost like smiles. The brass casings of the cartridges looped into the gun belts heliographed in the sun. There were fewer now. The leather made subtle creaking noises. His shirt, the no color of rain or dust, was open at the throat, with a rawhide thong dangling loosely in hand-punched eyelets. His hat was gone, so was the horn he had once carried. Gone for years, that horn, spilled from the hand of a dying friend, and he missed them both. He breasted a gently rising dune, although there was no sand here. The desert was hardpan, and even the harsh winds that blew when dark came raised only an aggravating harsh dust like scouring powder, and saw the kicked remains of a tiny campfire on the lee side, the side the sun would quit earliest. Small signs like this, once more affirming the man in black's possible humanity, never failed to please him. His lips stretched in the pitted, flaked remains of his face. The grin was gruesome, painful. He squatted. His quarry had burned the devil grass, of course. It was the only thing out here that would be.